I titled this Sunday school lesson, The Phases of Israel's Great Commission. Rich might have put it on the Facebook a little bit shorter than that, but that's what we want to do. It was some time ago that I taught at a conference about something about the commissions, and anyhow, what the study became clear to me then, back then, and then every time I look at it, it becomes more and more clear where you wonder why I never saw it before that. And I'll explain that. But it comes out of the study, the 28th of December, I taught about our Great Commission out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that certainly is our Great Commission. What I was trying to get across there to make sure that when people realize when it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, that we're not talking about an application of when you got saved that now you're a new person. The new creature is the body of Christ. The whole point of that is that God is doing something new. Old things are passed away, all things become new, and that the new creature has a ministry and a word of reconciliation that we're to carry out to the world. That is our commission. And Paul is actually talking about his commission when he talked about it was given him the ministry and the word of reconciliation. And because we're followers of Paul, that's our commission. So that was the point of that message. Back then, I pointed out to you that Israel's commission, that people grab different parts of each of the gospel records of the closing words of the Lord Jesus Christ before he ascended back into heaven. And depend on what denomination you go to, you choose a certain one of those closing statements as your commission. But what I want to do here is look at each one of those and then realize how they're going to be carried out. So let's just first read through it. So I have mine marked as well. So we'll just take them in the order. So Matthew chapter 28. And the point is to recognize how they're different. Each one of the gospel records, and we're not going to go into John just for the sake of time, although that's an interesting one. I'll mention it later on. But at each one of the gospel records where the Lord gives instructions to the apostles of carrying out, they're not none of them are the same. And, you know, you look at that and you wonder, whoa, why is that? So, anyhow, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. It says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So now go to Mark 16. And here's where it says that, in verse 15. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And if we would have kept reading, just shortly after that, the Lord ascends back into heaven. Come to Luke chapter 24, verse 46. It says, And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Then come over to Acts chapter 1. It says in verse 6. It says, When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. So if you listen to each one of those, there's several different things that are being said, and we want to understand why it's different and how the apostles are to carry out those different commands that they were given. So let's stop and pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for our gathering here this morning. And we thank you that Right Division can really clear up a lot of things and really even help us to look at Israel's program and see how things are to be carried out, what the purpose of the nation of Israel is. And we thank you that we've already studied a couple weeks ago our commission to realize what our word is, what our message is, what our ministry is, that ministry of reconciliation. So we thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the point is you see the difference, and now we want to talk about why the difference and how it is that they are actually going to carry these things out. And really, the answer to the question that I had, when you look at the difference, is their commission, the commission of the 12 apostles, and particularly God's purpose for the nation of Israel, their commission is to be executed in five different phases. And I want to point that out, and you'll see how it all falls together. They understood this. So to begin with, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 10 this time. Because when I say five phases, this is the first phase, Matthew chapter 10. Because the Lord's here on earth, and he begins his ministry, and then he trains 12 apostles, and here he, out of the disciples, he picks out 12 to be his apostles. Apostle means a sent one, and he's going to send them here. And this is during his earthly ministry. They went out and they came back in this passage. But this passage is, you have to look in other, like Luke, to see that they returned and so forth. But here is the first time they were sent out. And so in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. And then he goes on, give them more instructions of what not to take with them and what to do about the cities that they go into and the cities that reject the message that they go. So he gives those instructions. If you look at verse 16, he says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then look over in verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And just interesting statement, verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The reason especially verse 23 just makes it really clear that they're being sent out during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. But what he sends them out to do and to preach doesn't end with that first being sent out, because verse 23, they're not going to go over the cities of Jerusalem till the Son of Man be come, till his return. And so you realize that this actually picks up, if you look, we always emphasize the fact that the dispensation of grace wasn't known. So they're being sent out, and in the time they're going to be sent out, there's going to be some persecution they're going to experience, and the Lord's going to come back, and they're not going to be able to achieve everything that he's sending them out to do, so that this commission is actually the beginning of their commission. So I just simply call it I just put That's phase one. Is during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, they began to carry this out. They're not done, but that is certainly phase one of their commission. Now come over to Luke chapter 24. Oh, by the way, before you leave that, I was going to tell you some things about this. Oh, when it says two things there. In verse 5, it says, "Go ye not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." You might recall, and you'll see it again when we get to the Acts Commission, they're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So there is a time they are going to go to Gentiles, and they are going to go to the Samaritans. The other thing is in verse 6, when it says, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I don't take the house of Israel, the household, like the heritage, the genetic that they're from Jacob. They're the house of Israel. I take the house of Israel because they're not supposed to go anywhere else, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I believe we're talking about the landmass of Israel, and there's two ways of looking at that. The Lord Jesus Christ never went outside the territory of Israel, from Galilee down to Judea. Those areas that the Lord Jesus Christ, he even went to Samaria, so he covered all the land of Israel. He says he's not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and Israel was housed in their land. In John, he's going to make a statement that other sheep have I that are not of this fold, that they must hear, but he's not talking about Gentiles, because Gentiles aren't sheep, they're dogs. When he says other sheep that are not of this fold, he's talking about the fold being the land of Israel, and eventually those Jews outside the land of Israel are going to have to hear this message. So my point to you is how the confinement. They're not to go to Samaritans, not to go to Gentiles, and they're to stay in that land of Israel. That's where phase one begins. But it doesn't just stay there. Now go to Luke chapter 24. And the Holy Spirit wrote these things down so we can catch on to this. In verse 46 again, it says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." So they're going to preach repentance, a change of mind, and remission of sins is going to be preached in his name among all nations. But then it says, beginning at Jerusalem. So eventually they go beyond the land of Israel and beyond just Jews, but it's going to begin in Jerusalem. And it says, "And ye are witnesses of these things." And then verse 49, they're to stay in Jerusalem until they're endued with power from on high. So now they know that after, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, after his death, burial, and just as he's ready to ascend into heaven, they're going to carry out Luke 24, the second phase. They're going to begin their ministry in Jerusalem. So go to the book of Acts. Now in Acts, in verse chapter 1 and verse 6, they're looking for that kingdom to come, but there's a work that they had to do before that kingdom comes, so the Lord tells them it's not for them to know the timing that God has put in his own power. Verse 7 says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So we realize they're going to begin in Jerusalem, but then they're eventually going to expand it out. Now, when they begin in Jerusalem under what Luke's phase two is, they begin in Jerusalem. That's actually Acts chapters 2 through 7. They cover the land of Jerusalem and Judea. And I told you I was going to skip over John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, the Lord says, he told them, the apostles, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And he says, "Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained unto them." And that's the part of the commission that was given to them in the book of John. And they do carry that out. For instance, in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, they're selling their possessions. They're going to become part of this kingdom that's being preached to them, but they're holding back some of their money, and Peter is able to read their mind or heart and realize that they're kept back, they're lying to the apostles, and they both drop dead in his presence. He had the power to remit or to retain sins, and they are retained unto them. They were punished. So that's the authority that they had, and they're exercising that authority as they go out in chapters 2 through 7. And in chapter 7 is where the stoning of Stephen takes place, and often we start talking about the stoning of Stephen as the fall of the nation of Israel. And so they went out and fulfilled beginning at Jerusalem. But then when you read the Acts record, it goes beyond Jerusalem. It includes Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the world. So in Acts 1, what do we got, 6? Well, we're just putting the chapters in. In Acts chapter 1 is phase 3, where they're going to go beyond Jerusalem and Judea. They're going to go to Samaria. Come to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Now, we don't get all the details, but come to verse 12. And it says, "But when they believed Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And so here Philip preached to them. The Samaritans are believing. Well, Philip wasn't one of the apostles. So in verse 14 it says, "And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." So they were preaching already, "Repent and be baptized and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But the Samaritans, when it was Philip preached to them, they believed the message, they got baptized, but they didn't receive the Holy Ghost until Peter and John, the officials of the apostles of the nation of Israel, showed up. They lay their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Look down in verse 25. It says, and now the apostles are going to leave. There's events that take place in between. But it says, "And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." So they actually did fulfill Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But the thing is, they never did go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That third phase didn't get finished, because Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus is saved, and God ends the program or interrupts the program of the 12 apostles with the ministry of the apostle Paul. And hopefully you're familiar enough with Galatians chapter 1, where Paul talks about the gospel that he goes out and preaches. This is why it was important for me to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to talk about our commission. Their commission is not our commission. We have a whole different commission. We have a ministry and a word of reconciliation to all the world, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We're not just dealing with God's program for the nation of Israel. We're talking about the new creature, the body of Christ, that God's doing something new that has interrupted their program. Galatians chapter 2, Paul says the gospel that he preached, he didn't get it from men, he got it from Jesus Christ. And then he goes to Jerusalem in Galatians chapter 2 and communicates that gospel unto the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. And it says, "And when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision." The circumcision is the believing remnant of Israel. By the way, I should have said this when we were talking about these two verses. Luke and Acts said, "You're going to be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and eventually the uttermost parts of the earth." When we talk about going out and sharing the gospel, we call it witnessing. But when it said that they're going to be witnesses, when you read the book of Acts, Peter will say about the resurrection of Christ, "And we are witnesses of these things." meaning eyewitnesses. They've seen the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So that witness there doesn't mean the way we use the word witness. They actually, they're going out testifying that they've seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Apostle Paul seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But when they perceived that the grace given to the Apostle Paul, they gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that they would go to the heathen and they to the circumcision, that means they're not going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. They're actually saying, okay, God's doing something different. Our commission is out of commission now. So they've never fulfilled phase three yet. They never went to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they didn't because we understand why. Now, you know, for us, I think it's an easy understanding because we're so grounded in the fact of the dispensation of grace interrupting Israel's program. But even the rest of the fundamental world out there doesn't know that. They think they're fulfilling the Great Commission. They don't even know what our commission is, and there's no way they could explain how it is that they did that. For instance, when Peter says that we'll go to the circumcision, he's talking about the believing remnant of Israel. Paul's going to go to the heathen, and what's the first thing Paul does after they do that? They agree to that in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 17, Paul goes into the synagogue and preaches to the Jews. Because when he writes Romans chapter 1, he says, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. He went to the heathen. Those Jews that weren't believers, they're part of the Gentiles. There's no difference between a Jew and Gentile in the age of grace. So you learn all that when you learn to rightly divide. But again, their program went out of commission during the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and will not come back into commission until we're raptured out. When we're raptured out, come to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16, in verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So now we're not just talking about beginning in Jerusalem and then go to Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Now he's telling them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That would include Gentile or Jew. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Interesting. Water baptism is part of their commission. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul's gospel message doesn't include water baptism. Theirs does. It says in verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there's two things there. They go out and preach the gospel to every creature. So you realize, well, they didn't do that here, and they went out of commission. When will they preach the gospel to every creature? Well, it's got to be during the tribulation time. During the tribulation is when they're going to go out and preach to all the creatures. And when they go out and preach, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 and 24, it says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Well, the gospel of the kingdom, which is what they were preaching, not the gospel of the grace of God, but the gospel of the kingdom, is eventually going to be preached to all the world, and then shall the end come, where Jesus Christ is going to return. Well, when will the gospel of the kingdom be preached to all the world? Well, when we're raptured out, the message to the world is that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up his kingdom. And so it's during the tribulation that they go out and preach that. We know in Revelation chapter 7, there's 144,000 Jews that are going to have the seal of God and that are going to go out and preach and have influence throughout the whole world as they're going to preach. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news of Jesus Christ's return, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're now at the beginning of the tribulation. This is 7 years long. It is at hand like never before. And they're going to go out and preach that, and the 144,000 are going to go out and preach that. And when they have the mark of God, nothing shall hurt them. By the way, in Luke chapter 10, when we read Matthew chapter 10, where the Lord sent them out, and when he sent them out, he gave them the power to cast out devils and to heal the sick and all of that. But when you read it in Luke, it says, if they drink any deadly... No, it doesn't say drink. It said, does it say that? Anyhow, it says nothing. The word is nothing shall hurt them. So when they go out, nothing's going to hurt them. Well, that's what's going to happen in the tribulation. In the tribulation, you read like in the third trumpet judgment, a star is going to fall from heaven and pollute the third of the water system of the world, the fresh water. And many, it says many will die because of that. Can 144,000 drink of that polluted water, the wormwood? Nothing shall hurt them. Satan can't attack them and kill them. That nothing's going to hurt them. They're going to go out and preach during that time. And so that's when Mark 16's commission is going to be fulfilled. You got people thinking it's being fulfilled today. They're going to cast out devils and all the rest. Or they can drink deadly things and it won't hurt them. They can handle snakes and it won't hurt them. No. But nothing will hurt them, that 144,000. Now, I say that to you because if you've been around for my teaching, I got convinced years ago, and I'm still convinced, among that 144,000 are the 12 apostles. Because when you're reading it there in Mark, it says he told them to go into all the world and do it. They never did do it. I believe that one of the reasons that nothing will hurt them, they're going to be resurrected to go out and preach. And I actually believe that whole group of people that believed in the early part of the book of Acts, that's who's going to make up the 144,000. But now, that can't be proven. That's just my thinking. I just know that nothing can hurt them. They're like someone who's been risen from the dead. And if the 12 apostles were given that commission, I believe they're going to be among those carrying out that final commission. Anyhow, so that's when you start putting it together, you get those thoughts, and whether they're right or not, you can decide that. But that's what I've concluded. Now, come back now to Matthew chapter 28. And notice the difference in this commission. And when I kind of quickly pointed it out when I was teaching about our commission. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, and by the way, maybe let me start in verse 16 to point this out. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying. So the Lord appeared to these 12 apostles for 40 days after his resurrection at different times. The reason I'm saying that, all those other times, they were in Jerusalem when the Lord gave them these commissions. Now they're back up in Galilee, where they first started, where they first met the Lord. And when they were told about his resurrection, they were told, the Lord's going to meet you in Galilee. So they eventually go back up into Galilee, and then the Lord shows up in Galilee and gives them this commission. And this commission is different than the others. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now maybe I'll just give it away now, because you could probably see it coming. That phase 5 is after Jesus Christ returns. And I say that because, well, from a lot of things I'm going to share with you, but when he says to them, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, he has just, at his second coming, he has cleansed the earth, but prior, in the middle of the tribulation, he cleansed the heavens. And all power in heaven and earth is given unto him, and he's setting up his kingdom on earth. And he has the full authority in heaven and in earth. So he tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now what I pointed out to you when I was teaching 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it doesn't say go preach the gospel. All of a sudden we're not preaching the gospel anymore. We're not preaching the good news that Jesus Christ is coming. He's here. And now it's time for them to go out and teach the Gentile nations. And it goes on to say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. No one in your Bible ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They always baptize in Jesus' name. Because when they were going out and preaching and baptizing in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, starting with John the Baptist and even in the early part of the book of Acts, they're preaching to the Jews. And baptism is always an identification. Israel knew who God the Father was. They knew who the Holy Spirit was. They had to believe who Jesus Christ is. They had to believe Jesus is the Christ. And so they're baptizing in Jesus' name. But that's the nation of Israel. Now when they go out to the Gentiles, they're going to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why those three? Because the Gentiles don't know who God is. They're worshiping idols. And they need to be identified with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And when they go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that they're going to go out and convert the Gentiles. It says in verse 20, teaching them. So they're going to teach all nations. They're going to baptize those nations. And they're also going to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he's going to be with them always, but they're going to not only go out and teach the Gentiles about God, they're going to also teach the Gentiles to observe all things what God has commanded them. Come to Isaiah chapter 2. I'm getting it in. See, this God called out the nation of Israel to be his people to convert the Gentiles. When did Israel ever convert the Gentiles? They never have. God had to first win the nation of Israel, set up his kingdom in Israel, and then they can go out to the uttermost parts of the earth. But here, they're going to teach all nations the things of God, who God is, and all the things that God has instructed them. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, the word of the Lord, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Mountain's always a picture of a kingdom. And he shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Israel is going to become a testimony to the Gentiles, teach the Gentiles who the true God is, and the Gentiles are going to come into the kingdom through the nation of Israel. Look over in chapter 60 of Isaiah. So verses 1 through 5 talk about Jesus Christ coming back and glorifying the nation of Israel, since that's the second bell. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 60, verse 12, it says, for the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. They're going to go teach the Gentiles, and the Gentile nations that come into the kingdom are going to come in through the nation of Israel, and the Gentile nations that reject Jesus Christ and the preaching of the 12 apostles when they go out during the millennium, they're wiped out. They're not going to be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 7, of the increase of his kingdom and peace, there'll be no end. It starts out in Jerusalem and is going to fill the whole earth. And that's when the fifth phase, Matthew 28, is not something that we're supposed to be doing today. That's something that'll be the 12 apostles will fulfill in the millennial reign of Christ, because that's the calling of the nation of Israel. A lot to chew on there. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that we can look closer, even though it's kind of fast, but just looking at it fast at least plants the thought in our head to be able to look at the details in each one of these commissions and realize your purpose for the nation of Israel and how it's going to be fulfilled. Father, most important is our commission, the word and the ministry of reconciliation that we're to carry out to the whole world, the gospel of your grace. Help us to be faithful in that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.